everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour, a special in-depth discussion on the topic of the hidden hands, the threats to our Constitution and civil rights under the neoliberal administrations, Reagan, Obama, Trump, the Clintons, Bush, and now under a new administration. We don't yet know all that it portends, but we're beginning to see signs that it will be no different in how it impacts people involving the Constitution and how our rights are being threatened. I have two guests today for this program. My first guest is Danny Sheehan. Now, Danny is one of our nation's most important and influential constitutional and public interest lawyers. During the past 45 years, he has handled such public interest cases as the Pentagon Papers. Without Danny, the Pentagon Papers would not have been published by the New York Times. He was the outside counsel who said, yes, they're legitimate, go with them. Also, the Watergate break-in, Iran-Contra, the Sookwood murder case, and so many more. He has represented victims of the Three Mile Island nuclear disaster and fought against the American Nazi Party on hate crimes. Danny was also the leading attorney on behalf of the Native Nations at Standing Rock. He is the founder of the Christic Institute and the Romero Institute, the latter being a nonprofit public interest center in Santa Cruz, California. Danny is Harvard Law. He later returned to Harvard Divinity School, so he has a background that's unique. He is also the author of The People's Advocate, and his website is Daniel P. Sheehan, that's SHEEHAN.com, and RomeroInstitute.org, that's R-O-M-E-A, Romero. Nice to have you with us today, Danny.
Terrific. Thank you, Gary. I wish you could say it's good to be here under these circumstances, but it's not. I mean, it's an astonishing period in our lives, especially as people concerned about the Constitution of the United States. This is extraordinary. It really is.
That's why we're doing this series.
Yes.
And I believe it's essential. And the mainstream media and the alternative media are not touching it. And when we look at all the popular and respected personalities on the left, from Rachel Maddow to Democracy Now!, you have to ask, why are some of these topics not discussed and investigated when there's a leading Democrat in power? Why haven't they been held accountable for Benghazi, for the destruction of a whole country without any provocation or evidence that anything was wrong under Gaddafi in Libya, or the calling it a civil war in Syria when it was never a civil war, and to this day is not a civil war? The vast majority of Syrians not only support Assad, but will tell you the stories of how al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other terrorist groups are there on behalf of the Saudi Arabian government, the Turkish government, the United Arab Emirates, the United States, Great Britain, and yet the media will not touch that and tell the truth. Individuals will, but not many people on the left, because it would be attacking the Clintons, who were responsible, and also the Obama. So there's a gross hypocrisy. There's a terribly distorted double standard. If we're going to say that the Constitution is the ultimate authority on all things in our country, legally, and that we're going to hold one standard, then we shouldn't be showing that we're holding double standards, and that's what's happening now. Now, Trump has been in office now for about 5 weeks, and we have probably seen more dramatic changes during these 5 weeks than any other presidency in recent history. Some of these go up against our civil liberties, such as some of the immigration executive orders. Jeff Sessions is also pushing forward with crime reduction policies that will greatly expand and can properly be called crimes. So people who would not have been arrested in the past, people who would not go to jail in the past, now likely will. There has been an inverted relationship between the prison system, which is now a prison industrial complex, the banking system, especially payday loans and usurious interest loans, and the criminal system. These are the people who supplied Hillary Clinton with lots of money, gave to her foundation, and also support now Donald Trump. Why? Because the more crimes that are committed, including things that would historically have been not a crime or even a misdemeanor, now will send you to jail, their jails, where then they can have the labor in those jails who are not violent, working for 50 cents an hour, making some of America's top corporations' goods cheaply enough that they now can outcompete with China and other countries. This is not even on any talking points ever in any of the media. And yet this is what is happening. And more people are poor now than ever before in American history, including the Great Depression. More homeless children, more people on welfare, more people on food stamps, more people who do not have $500 in their bank account. And over half the entire American population could not come up with $1,000 if need be. So when a person jaywalks and they're given, they're arrested, and if they can't make bail, which most cannot, they go to a private prison system that not only incarcerates them, but then charges them every day. So every day they're in prison becomes even more impossible for them to get out. And yet, when did you see this in any of the major headlines on CNN or NBC? When did you hear these people's story? Now, also, seemingly, we are headed in the direction where simply opposing the Trump White House can get a person in trouble, particularly in the second order being called preventing violence against federal, state, tribal, and local law enforcement officers. So I'd like you to begin with summarizing your broad assessment of what we're witnessing in the Trump administration and what we had witnessed in the Obama administration and the Clinton administration, because it's all connected, so that we should see a broader truth in what the future is likely to portend. The forum is yours.
Well, I as you know, have just recently come back from Standing Rock, where I've been up at the Standing Rock Reservation. I have been, over the last 14 years, among the other many things that I've been doing, is representing at various times each of the 9 major reservations in South Dakota, because we were up against a process where the children were being taken away and put in these large group foster care homes that were private institutions, as you were pointing out, this private penal system thing they have, that they had a private organization called the South Dakota Children's Home Services Incorporated, and the children were being taken away from the native tribes and put in these facilities, and the facility was run by, in his private capacity, the lieutenant governor of the state. And they were bringing in pharmaceutical drugs in authorizing the use of experiments on these children to see what type of drugs could be imposed upon kids under 18 years old so that these corporations could then sell them. This type of thing that we've encountered, this has resulted now in, as you know, the Trump administration has issued an order authorizing the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Energy Transfer Partners to dig a huge pipeline right straight through the sacred land of the Lakota people, and under the water above their Ogallala Aquifer and right under the Missouri River, where they get all of their drinking water from. And the federal government under Trump has locked hand in glove with the private corporations to authorize the use of this land. And the land has been taken from the Lakota people by an act of eminent domain, an assertion of executive power, simply seize the land from the tribe. And there are explicit treaties in 1851 and 1868 explicitly recognizing that entire territory to be the sovereign territory of the Lakota people. And now, because of Trump's wedding of his interests with the corporations. In fact, Donald Trump was a major investor in the Energy Transfer Pipeline, as was Rick Perry, the man he's appointed to be the head of the Secretary of Energy. And now he's made his Secretary of State the CEO of ExxonMobil, a petroleum corporation. This wedding of the instrumentalities of the state with the interests of private corporate capitalism is a terrible threat now. And what we're seeing, the one of the cutting edges of this, Gary, is they passed new statutes that are called corporate terrorism, and that anybody who engages in any action which results in any act of violence at all, if the people who are engaged in organizing that a First Amendment demonstration of any kind against a corporation, if anybody, even though they're not under your direction at all, engages in any kind of an illegal act, what they're doing is trying to charge now the people who organized the private demonstration with criminal acts. They've just indicted. Oh, actually, it's just a federal criminal charge or a state criminal charge filed by the Attorney General in North Dakota against Chase Iron Eyes, who was one of the organizers of the demonstration against the Dakota Pipeline, the major occupation that took place up at the Ojete Sakoan site up on the northern boundary of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. That he has now been arrested and charged with inciting a riot. And in fact, the Attorney General and the governor refer to him as a domestic terrorist. And they have statutes now that there was a man who was part of the animal rights movement who went onto the property of a corporation, a mink farm, and just simply broke the locks on the mink cages and allowed the minks out. And he's been charged with domestic terrorism, an act of terrorism because he destroyed property. And the definition that they have is any person who incites five or more people to come and engage in tumultuous conduct, it says, tumultuous conduct that poses a threat kind of injury to persons or property is going to be held criminally liable for any damage that is imposed. So this type of step-by-step movement of the powers of the state to move in behind protecting the interests, the private business interests of major corporations, and now using the moniker of terrorism to characterize anybody who organizes First Amendment demonstrations against their terrible policies of these corporations are going to be now under the threat of being accused of being a domestic terrorist. Now, as we all can see, now the Trump administration moving to point out that the major threat to our people inside our own country are domestic people, citizens of the United States, that could somehow be swayed by what they read on the internet to engage in individuated acts of terrorism. And so therefore they have to place everybody under surveillance, including American citizens. They have to read all of their mail. They have to read all of their emails. And what they're doing, as we now know, we've now found out that they're copying and recording every single email that you send, in every single communication on the telephone that you have. They're recording these things. They're dropping on these and recording them, and they're taking the absurd position that does not violate the Fourth Amendment, your right to be secure in your communications and your speech and everything, because they say, we aren't going to read every single one of them or listen to every single phone conversation unless we want to. And if we want to listen to one of the conversations, what we'll do is we'll go to a secret court, which is made up of a special group of judges, the National Surveillance Court. And the National Surveillance Court, out of 3,500 applications for these secret warrants, has only denied two in the entire history of that court. So that what we have is a carte blanche gathering of all of our communications on the internet and on the telephones, and they're being recorded and stored away. The federal government is now building a gigantic facility in Utah that's as big as like six city blocks, filled with computers to store all of this information. And that they've got this secret court now that's going to authorize, just by them saying Simon Says, you know, or may I, you know, that they get to listen to and read every single one of these communications. And they're combing through them now for trigger words of any kind that will trigger and then back up and give them access to your telephone conversations. This is a full-scale draconian administration that has come into place. And as you point out, while all of us are extraordinarily upset about how blatant Donald Trump is about his kind of authoritarian and Mussolini-type activities, the fact of the matter is that this has been building ever since the end of the Cold War. Ever since the immediate end of the Cold War, Paul Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney, who was the Secretary of Defense under George Bush Sr., at the very end of the Cold War, they moved in and they drafted a 1992 United States Defense Department Policy Planning Guidance document, and they explicitly advocated in that classified document that the United States executive branch move to establish full spectrum dominance over the entire planet, so that anywhere on the planet could they dispense, or they could assign military units to go to those places and take into custody people who they suspected of opposing our policies and incarcerate them. This was known as extraordinary rendition. And now we have in the new National Defense Authorization Act is being proposed by the Trump administration. We heard about the fact that he wants to increase by $59 billion the previous military budget. But what he's doing is he's got a single omnibus military budget that he's put in there, and he has a section in that which is called Section 1021, and it's a repeat of a section that was put in under Obama. And this particular section of the Defense Authorization Act, Section 1021, purports to authorize the president to designate an individual inside the executive branch who can, in fact, make a determination that there exists what he calls an articulable suspicion that an individual, including an American citizen, may have provided support to another individual or any organization who has engaged in acts of hostility against the United States or any one of our allies in our war on terror, which includes, of course, Saudi Arabia now, in Russia, working with us inside Syria, allegedly, to try to get rid of Al-Qaeda in ISIS. You know, these are any person who is engaged in what they might characterize as an act of support for any one of those organizations is subject to immediate military rendition. To have them come into your hometown with a military unit, one of these SWAT special force groups, and they come in and they seize you, and you have no right to make a telephone call. You have no right to let your family know that you've been taken into custody. You have no right to be brought in front of a judge pursuant to our traditional longstanding right of habeas corpus, which exists right in the United States Constitution, insisting that any person who's taken into custody by an executive branch official has to be brought in front of a magistrate, an independent judicial magistrate, within 48 hours, and they have to present grounds for believing there's probable cause to believe that you've committed some crime. And if you have not, you have to be released. But this statute overrides that, and it now purports to authorize Donald Trump to designate an inside his executive branch who can simply determine that there's an articulable suspicion that a person has engaged in giving support to any such individual or organization, and they come and take you into custody, and they keep you in military custody, and they incarcerate you in a military stockade where you can be subjected to extraordinary interrogation techniques. And try to assert, and you can't be told who the charges are that were made against you, you know, who made the charges or what the charges are. And you can actually be brought in front, as a civilian American citizen, you can be brought in front of a military tribunal, and you can be convicted by a simple majority vote of the military officers on that panel without your being given the notice of what you're charged with, without knowing who the witnesses are, without having the right to cross-examine any of them, without the right to have a legal counsel representing you, and you can be incarcerated indefinitely until they determine to let
Danny,
you go.
They can also kill you.
Yes, they can have you executed.
Is it not true that President Obama actually had a Tuesday kill meeting every week where he selected who was going to be killed? Those people were never charged.
That's right.
There was no evidence presented on their behalf to show they should not be charged, and those people were intended to be killed. In the hell was the liberal community when that was happening? Where were the demonstrations in front of the White House? Where were their protest marches by the women whose other sons around the world were being killed and decapitated by the smart bombs and by the drones?
Yes.
I find that the left has become so irresponsibly corrupt, so morally bankrupt, that they have no right to be condemning anyone until they take an honest look at who they put into office, who they supported, and in spite of all the evidence that we are back in the 1920s in Germany. That's my personal feeling.
That's right.
I believe that we are no better now than the Nazis were in the 1920s and early 30s. I'm not talking about later.
As you know, we've talked on your show before that people aren't aware of the fact that in 1924, it was actually George Herbert Walker, who was the grandfather of George Herbert Walker Bush, who was the CEO of Brown Brothers Harriman, a private investment firm on Wall Street, who in fact left as the CEO of Brown Brothers Harriman and set up the Union Bank of New York, which in turn set up a subsidiary in the Netherlands called the Bank of Commerce and Trade, and they are the ones that financed the construction of the international headquarters of the Third Reich in Berlin. And they financed the rise of Hitler into power because they wanted to establish a bulwark against Bolshevism in Europe. And so that when we get upset and call these people like Nazis in the 1920s, it turns out they are exactly the same people. They are the people that created the Nazi Party. They're the ones that have done this. And they did it all under the name of anti-communism. But the fact of the matter is that it wasn't that they were anti-communists. They were pro-fascists. That they believed in a very particular form of government, the wedding of the instrumentalities of the power of the state at the disposal of the privately owned corporations. That's what they're designed to do. They're designed to extract the resources from these foreign countries and to bring them into the maw of the capitalist corporations and to be able to generate private profits for their stockholders. This is very simple. It's just a simple arithmetic formula. You can look at it and see what's happening. And what it is, they're marching steadily toward the full fruition of this type of a model. And we knew that for years they were working in coalition with that were down in Latin America, they were down in Brazil and Argentina, in Uruguay and Paraguay. They were actual World War II Nazi war criminals who had been smuggled out of Europe and secreted down in these countries, and they were serving as military advisors to those dictatorial governments that were being financed by our American Central Intelligence Agency so that our American corporations could get access to their resources down there. Now, this is the condition that we're looking at right here. Now, I do want to point out that, I mean, we can get excited and we can say that people on the left don't have a right to criticize what Trump is doing until and unless they look at what it is they've been responsible for allowing to take place. But the fact of the matter is, They do have a right to object to what Trump is doing, and we are obliged to point out to them how this has come to pass, and that the Democratic administrations under Clinton and under Obama were involved in the evolution of this same process.
It was
under them the tanks got sent to the police departments, you know.
Danny, I agree with that. I've said repeatedly, criticize Trump, demonstrate against Trump, but understand also you're hypocrites when you did not do the same thing under the other administrations.
That's right.
I'm simply pointing out a double standard. Now,
That's right.
I think we only have about 6 minutes, so I'd like you to condense your answer. And I'd like you to first by telling me yes or no.
Yes.
Is it your understanding that the hidden hands, the power elite, the oligarchs behind the scenes, control the system and the politicians to such a degree that now they have allowed laws to be enacted that if I or you who protest, exercising our freedom of speech, that virtually anyone who shows up or online protests animal rights, abuses, factory farming, the environment and global warming denial, the acts of Saudi Arabia and Qatar and some of the other states for their human rights abuses.
Opposing the pharmaceutical corporations.
If we protest against anything, that could trigger the opportunity for us to be arrested, detained, tried in a military court, and killed at their whim with no repercussions and no legal consequences, yes or no?
Yes,
okay.
That's true.
Now, finally, then, Trump recently announced part of his American First budget that will increase defense spending by 10% to $54 billion. When we did a careful analysis of how much money in total, on and off the books, all the agencies of government have that are involved in the spying and defense, yes, it's over $1.5
trillion. That's right.
And we spend more on our defense than all the other countries of the world combined. That includes China and India. So when someone who seems so congenitally deformed in logic and reason and understanding, retarded at like a 12-year-old level of intellect, does not understand anything about human nature, the government, bureaucracies, corruption, and simply reacts in a volatile manner, a petulant manner, against anything that is perceived as an insult, could you imagine when we bring it to his attention that over 50% of the budget is redundant, that it has nothing to do, no matter how much you spend, with actually defending America and our interests? This is all for the profits of 200,000 to 400,000 private contracting and corporations involved in the military-industrial complex, and that the very CIA that he supported is also the primary vehicle from which the hidden hand undermines democracy and our rights. Final thoughts for you.
No, that's true. The fact is the Central Intelligence Agency was put together in 1947 by a series of major multimillionaires who were, in fact, several of them were partners in Brown Brothers Harriman, the very private investment firm that I was talking about. The lawyer for the Brown Brothers Harriman was Dulles, and he was made the first civilian head of the Central Intelligence Agency. And Robert Lovett was one of the senior partners in Brown Brothers Harriman. He's the one that drafted the first proposal to actually have a Central Intelligence Agency. And that agency has functioned ever since 1947, not as a protector of American interests or values around the world, but in fact to protect the major transnational corporate capitalists. They've overthrown countries if they try to assert control over their own oil, such as Mossadegh in Iran. They've overthrown governments, for example, in Nicaragua, who didn't want to allow their fields to be bought up and used by the United Fruit Corporation. That this is what's been going on ever since then, and now it's becoming transparent. And so the fact is that many people can see that it's happening now. What we need to do, in my opinion, we need to take advantage of the fact that it is now transparent to the vast majority of people, but we cannot allow them to say, that, look, what we need to do in order to solve this is to simply return to the control of the regular Democratic Party. To simply have the regular Democratic Party come back into power, and maybe everything will be all right. Because it wasn't all right. It was slowly building toward this exact same situation. And that Trump, the simple fact is that Trump is just simple-minded. And what he does is say, look, I understand what we're supposed to be doing, and it's this. And he just says it. Whereas all these other guys are much more sophisticated, and they have Harvard Law School degrees, and they obfuscate, and they make it sound good, and it makes it sound like they're being liberal, that they're really promoting major values around the world, whether it's W. Bush, a graduate of Yale, whether it's Bill Clinton, a graduate, you know, of Harvard or Yale Law School, or Barack Obama of Harvard Law School. You know, these people just have a much more sophisticated manner of rationalizing what it is that they're doing, but the fact is that Donald Trump is just saying exactly what he thinks that they've all been doing, and now that's what he's doing. So I think that the time has come for all the people to rise up. We need to organize ourselves. We need to, I think, mobilize behind a series of a platform that actually has affirmative, concrete proposals that are being made that are going to strike at the heart of these basic, there's basically 147 specific corporations that are controlling this whole operation, 147 of them, and they have similar ownership in a lot of the stock in those 147 corporations. There's a very specific limited number of people, and that they, the reason people keep hearing so much about Goldman Sachs, just like they used to hear about Brown Brothers Harriman, is because it's a private investment group that represents. And that's why Hillary Clinton goes and gets $250,000 to go secretly talk to them and tell them that they are the ones that need to regulate their own industry.
Danny, unfortunately for this segment, we're out of time. We will continue with you on an upcoming program, The Hidden Hand, Threats to Our Constitution and Civil Rights. We're going to take a brief break and come right back with our next panelist, who is John Whitehead, also a constitutional lawyer. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. This is a special edition of the Progressive Commentary Hour dealing with the hidden hands. This is dealing with our constitutional and civil rights in the age of Trump. But we could also say in the age of Obama, in the age of Bush, in the age of Clinton, in the age of Reagan. It has not just started today. In this segment of our program, John Whitehead, an attorney and author who has written, debated, practiced widely in the area of constitutional and human rights law, and also, he is here to talk about those who've been persecuted and oppressed. In 1982, he founded the Rutherford Institute, a nonprofit civil liberties and human rights organization headquartered in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Institute provides legal services to defend civil liberties and programs to educate the public on issues affecting their constitutional freedoms. John gained international renown for his role as co-counsel on Paula Jones' sexual harassment lawsuit against President Clinton. He has filed numerous amicus briefs before the U.S. Supreme Court and has been a co-counsel in several landmark Supreme Court cases as well. John has been the subject of many focused articles and also from 60 Minutes on CBS. His most recent book is Battlefield America, The War on the American People. And his website is rutherford.org. That's R-U-T-H-E-R-F-O-R-D. Nice to have you with us today, John.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Gary.
John, I would like for you to discuss with this audience the Marshall Plan's for further militarization of the domestic U.S. Seemingly some of this increased defense budget by Trump is targeted towards domestic use of the military. And we already lost a posse comitatus that constitutionally prevents the United States Armed Forces being used for domestic control or for domestic law enforcement. And then from that, what is personal and private today and has not been constitutionally challenged by the previous Bush and Obama administrations and now Trump? What are the main constitutional rights being taken away from us as we speak today? The forum is yours.
Well, you mentioned going back to the presidents, you go back to George Bush, the U.S. Patriot Act right after 9/11, 400-page bill that was put into law, amazing enough, a little over a month after 9/11. But it allowed sneak and peek searches. The FBI can come in your home, rifle through your stuff, to download what's on your computer or whatever, and go out and never have to tell you. National security letters where they show up at banks and schools now under the Patriot Act, FBI agents and other government agents. And demand your records, your bank records, and the bank or the educational institutions are forbidden by law, believe it or not, to give over that information. All the militarized police SWAT teams started under Bush, 45,000 SWAT team raids under Bush. That's how it zoomed. Now under Obama, it zoomed up to over 80,000 a year. Another thing that most people, we get a lot of letters on it, we're defending people on this American Community Survey. I don't know if you've heard of that, Gary, but millions of households get it every year. It's supposedly a census, but it wants what your ancestry in your home, what, you know, what country they come from, who they are, your daily commute. They want to know on this survey, and a lot of people answer, it's 28 pages long, when you leave home. That's a dangerous thing today to tell any kind of government agents. Number of rooms in your home, what languages people speak. So it's a detailed, it's not a census. It's a severe invasion of privacy. And we've went up against the Census Bureau on that and backed them off now hundreds of times on those questionnaires that people object to. They have that information now. Under Obama, who signed the National Defense Authorization Act into law, it allows the military to come to your home and take you away if they think you're an extremist. Snowden fled to Russia under Obama. He revealed to us what they're doing. They're downloading everything that we do. So what we're seeing with President Trump now is he's going to have the most amazing powers, and he does, and can he use them? From his statements on law and order, which I read, I think that you're going to, and we're going to see this, that local police are going to be used as immigration agents. They're going to be pulling people over. There was a woman in Baltimore who was looking for a dog. She had brown skin, lived in the country. It didn't matter. The police stopped, pulled her over, and questioned her. The powers that he has right now, he can do anything he wants. I mean, if you can send the military to someone's door and arrest them because you think they're an extremist, and that's all an extremist is, under government rules, government memos, is someone who opposes the government. Gary Null, you're an extremist. They can come get you and take you away if they think it's time for you to go, and put you in a military camp where you can't see your family or your friends. Those are all laws. Obama kept signing that the National Defense Authorization Act, reauthorizing it the whole time he was in there. Do I think Trump's going to do away with any of these powers? No. If you study history, and this is the scary thing, we're moving toward a national ID card on the Real ID Act that Bush signed into law, by the way. It's going to force states to, your cards are going to be uniform, your driver's license, they're going to have biometric information on, and you're going to have to show them if you want to move through the country. We're going to get in cases and fight that. In my opinion, when they ask for your license or whatever, that's a search automatically. They need probable cause or some evidence of criminality. They shouldn't be carding people, as we saw on that one flight, went from San Francisco to New York or whatever, that landed, and they were carding everybody on that flight. I mean, if we're in that state, then we've moved back to Nazi Germany, and if you study your history, you'll see that the J stamp was instituted in 1938 by Hitler to target Jews and other people so they knew who you were, and eventually led them to concentration camps. If there's any time for resistance, I'm telling people, you better start resisting this stuff now. Either, you know, get in there, don't take this stuff. Make sure you know your rights, by the way. Most Americans I talk to have no clue. By the way, we give away a free Bill of Rights card on our website to anybody that wants it. You can put it in your billfold. It has the 10 amendments in it. I think the power that Donald Trump has, well, listen, any president we've had, and you said Reagan, since Reagan. Reagan was the first one to do the Rex 84 exercises, where they were doing these panic exercises about an uprising in the United States. Now we have this new military training video that came out of the Pentagon. Have you had a chance to look at that, Gary?
No, I have not.
Take a look at it. I mean, I've written on it. It's on our website. A new Pentagon training video says by 2030, the cities in this country are going to be breaking down, and the military is going to take them over. I mean, it's really well-crafted. It was done by a very fine director. It's only about 5 minutes long, but it's training the military and the police to get ready for an uprising in the major cities in this country. And it shows a lot of brown-skinned people with boots on their heads on the ground in major cities, and you got the military standing on with a rifle. That's the view that the government has of the future. It's a future where things are going to break down. I mean, I didn't know when I named my book Battlefield America, they were going to produce a video. The director, by the way, is remaining anonymous. It's very well done. So, people, you should watch that video. That gives you an idea of where your government thinks this country is going, and they're going to get prepared. When you have the Smithsonian Institution, Fish and Wildlife agencies having military units, and they all do now. All the federal agents. Smithsonian Institution has a military unit. What are they expecting in the future? They do not want free speech protests. They don't want people out here waving their signs, marching down the street. They don't want that. So how do you start? You put instill fear into people. And I see that. I mean, people are getting nervous. I mean, I have people tell me they're afraid to sleep at night now. They're worried about where the government's headed. And to be honest with you, you should be concerned.
John, I want you to go through several other areas, if you would, please. I believe that had Hillary Clinton been elected, this would actually have been sped up. And the reason I give you that is because it has now been proven that in governmental agencies, the people actually gave money to a candidate. 98% gave to Hillary Clinton, under 2% gave to Donald Trump. She had the support of the entire military-industrial complex.
Yes, she did.
The entire medical-industrial complex, the insurance-industrial complex,
yes.
The big fossil fuel industries, the major retail businesses, the Wall Street banking. Everybody in the business world was on her side, none on the other side, including the entire permanent bureaucracy in Washington, which meant that, just like Obama, this would have been the third term from Obama. So talk about the idea that where have the liberals been when all these bills have been passed and people have been incarcerated and drones killing people in the invasion of Libya, the invasion of Syria, the false flags, the support of the White Helmets that is actually a terrorist group. They just won the Academy Award. Shame on Hollywood. Shame on the producers for not doing their homework to see they've been lied to. And yet we have had a media that has not once gone after the justice community for doing what you're saying, going into yep. our homes, reading our emails, confiscating bank accounts, asset forfeiture, which was over $3 to $4 billion in 1 year. Talk yep. about those things as well. And who's really, you said they must act now. You're not going to see the left act on any of this. They'll act against Trump only, as if the only thing wrong in America is the election of Donald Trump, without looking at the sordid, perverse, corrupt background of the people that they have supported.
Well, one issue is, and it's politics. People play politics, but I always tell people freedom, your rights, those are human rights issues. So if you fall down on politics, if you say I'm right, I'm left, or whatever, I'm going to oppose this guy because of this or that. The thing with Donald Trump is he stumbles. We now see the emperor has no clothes. the emperor is a dictator if he wants to be. Obama did it with a smile. Hillary would have done it better. She wouldn't have, I don't think, been stumbling around and falling and this and that in the sense that Trump is doing in terms of his policies. But what happens is people get caught up in the entertainment. The average American watches 150 hours of television a month. People sit and watch. And to be honest with you, Gary, I think most people want to be ruled. And let me tell you why they want to be ruled. Because they don't want to take the responsibility of freedom. Freedom requires work, hard work. It requires going down to your local city council meeting and saying, hey, I'm not going to put up with what you're doing here. No more SWAT team where they're shooting kids and old people in their homes. We're not going to take that. And shutting down government occasionally. You're going to have to do that. I mean, if people talk to me about the Founding Fathers, could you imagine what a George Washington, a James Madison, people who wrote the Bill of Rights would say if someone walked up, an immigration officer, when he was walking down the street of wherever, Virginia or Washington, D.C., and asking for his ID card? They would have been outraged. The thing is, it's going to happen if we take it, and it's going to continue. I mean, when you got, like I say, the National Defense Authorization Act allowing the military to come in and grab people and snatch them out of their home, we had a case like that where they did it with a Marine just because he was doing anti-Obama Facebook posts. They put him in a mental hospital. Here's another thing. 1.5 million people disappear into mental hospitals each year, according to what they call civil commitments, where the police arrive at your door. So it doesn't matter who's in power. You know, when all that email stuff was coming down from Hillary, the one email that The Intercept actually got through a FOIA request is the one where the FBI and were people awake. It discussed the 7-4 group, under the State Department, the so-called deep state. I wrote on it early, and after that, I see all these people writing about the deep state. When I first read that, I wrote a commentary. I said, what a deep state. This is the people? But, you know, Jimmy Carter said it really clear in an interview. We're run by an oligarchy. Princeton study 2014 showed that we are ruled by a moneyed elite. So the people running the strings in Washington, D.C., you know, you're talking to someone who has sued politicians in and out of Washington, D.C. for over 40 years. It's very, very corrupt. It's run by money. I had a big-time congressman tell me once, he was looking right in the eye, he says, John, he says, when people in Washington, D.C., good morning, it's for a political reason. And what he was saying, it was for a money reason. So money runs the country. Us average folks out there that are struggling to get by, nothing's going to happen until they learn. I mean, here's the thing. The reason you're seeing the Pentagon getting geared up for so-called breakdown in the major cities is they think people may get fed up at some point and say, well, I spent 8 years in college and I can't get a job? That's happening. You know that, Gary. You've talked about that.
Yes.
$20,000. I'm getting ripped off. I mean, I'll never be able to pay back my loans, you know. And why? Because corporate entities took over the universities and jacked up the price to go to school. So it's going to continue under any president. I think this immigration thing, I mean, is amazing. I mean, it's following all the bad historical parallels. If when you see the local police running around jerking people off the street because there may be an immigrant, as John Lennon said, the great Beatle, who was fought the FBI to try to throw him out of the country, he said he walked to the Statue of Liberty and looked at what it said on the front of it, and he said, the Statue of Liberty told me to come here. See, but we're Trump is good at getting fear, especially in his followers, and fear in the left, by the way. And fear is the way to rule people. Division is the way to rule people. Unity is what they don't want.
John, how does asset and property forfeiture and confiscation enhance the militarized police state we are in now? And who within the oligarchy that you mentioned benefits the most from these draconian laws?
Oh, well, the people running the government, the private corporations, the local police. Yeah, when they pull your car over, in some states now, they'll ask for your debit card, and they'll actually scan your debit card and take your money. That's how they fund a lot of their activities. But here's the thing. Well, all that money, and much of it goes back to the federal government as well, is we're not getting a tax rebate when they do that, when they take somebody's car away just because they're arrested or charged with a crime and found not guilty and they can't get their home or their car back. Asset forfeiture, I've written a lot on it. If people want to go to Rutherford.org, Rutherford.org, and read about it.
Tell us now about what we experienced, because I had someone that I spoke with who said that
local police,
he was driving down south to Florida. He was pulled over, and they asked for his driver's license and everything, and he was traveling within the speed limit, and they asked him how much money he had, and he said he had about $1,100, and they took the $1,100. They didn't arrest him. They didn't give him a ticket. And when he asked, why are you taking this? Well, we have a suspicion of drug-related travel. And then he went on his way, and they, you know, he said, well, I can show you a deposit, a withdrawal slip from my bank. They said, well, file it and appeal on it. Now, when I was looking at this, I found out we're not dealing with a few. We're dealing with thousands of asset forfeitures, not just money, but in Oklahoma, they actually have a little machine that they can stick all your credit card and debit cards in and take all of the money out of any account. Then you have to go to court and fight to get it back. And also, they've taken businesses and they've actually confiscated cars. Now, the average person may not know this, but this is happening, and it's not a little business. It's into the billions of dollars a year. So could you go into this in greater depth, please?
Yeah, it's billions of dollars a year. I mean, they actually take people's homes, okay? If you're charged with a crime and you're fined under that particular provision, and you can't pay the fine, they can go take your home. And people have actually lost their homes. Yeah, asset forfeiture. That's what it's called. And I actually looked at one police website trying to figure out what they were using it for, and a lot of that, they're using it for clown carnivals, one police department was. Money they're taking from people, pulling them over and taking their cars and stuff. And the point is that this is a money thievery, scam. It should not be allowed. No, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. An asset forfeiture, when they take your car or your home, they automatically assume you're guilty because some policeman says so. Again, you can change that in your local communities, folks, and that's where it's going to have to start. You're going to have to look that beast in the eye, and that's what I call the federal government especially, which is going to – Trump does not respect state rights at all. So you're going to see a lot more heavy-handed stuff coming down. If you believe in medical marijuana, Trump's guy up there running the Attorney General Sessions is against even people using medical marijuana. I mean, these guys are a bit paranoid. And so you're going to see a lot of things creeping into your local community. It should be states' rights or local, your rights to your local community. But again, if people understood their Constitution on the 10th Amendment, you can nullify acts of Congress. You can nullify federal laws and state laws in your local communities, but you have to get together, write it, stand against it, and fight it.
Just a few more questions. Let's take a look at what is happening frequently where someone is stopped, they are arrested, but then in their arraignment, the only charge against them was resisting arrest. Well, there's an oxymoron here. How can you be arrested if you've committed no crime and your only crime is resisting arrest where there was no crime?
Yeah. It's a setup. What I'm saying is the system is broken. It's been broken a long time, and nobody's even fought back. And here's the other thing. I'm getting calls from people saying that, hey, if they ask for my driver's license, I am not going to hand it over. Well, and you don't have to hand over, in my opinion, but they're going to arrest you for that. That's what I'm saying. Get ready. I can see it coming. The local cops are going to turn into immigration officers. And you're going to find yourself in front of a judge, and if you're just walking along the street, but if you can't pay the fine, if you get fined for this, again, under asset forfeiture, they go after your home.
And with more and more people being in debt, over 270 million Americans are in debt.
Yes.
We're going to have a booming privatized debtor's prison system in our country.
Exactly. And Trump is very much in favor of private prisons, which I've written a lot about, again, on our website. People should go there, where this GEO corporation that runs them makes a lot of money off of private prisons. The prisoners you got in there working up to 12 hours a day to make products from companies like Walmart, Microsoft, Victoria's Secret Underwear, and they get paid supposedly 50 cents an hour. And then the products are sold at, you know, the regular price, and the corporations make the money.
And they, we have a new form of slave labor in the United States.
Scary. They require that in some states that up to they have to keep the prisons at 80% volume. In other words, they got to keep people in prison. So what we've seen, and I've written about this as well on our website, you got so many mundane, crazy laws where people used to never face jail time now. I mean, you got a lot of people in there with pot or whatever, just minor crimes, are now in prison making products for these large corporations because they have to come up with a way to put the people in the jails. And, by the way, up to 50% plus in major prisons, jails, are people of color. That tells you something.
Is Wall Street and the corporatocracy benefiting from this?
Oh, they benefit from everything. They run the government. That's my opinion. Look at who's serving in Trump's cabinet. It's either the military or billionaires. Yeah. In my opinion, Wall Street's been running the government for a long time. I mean, it's just the money runs the show. I mean, I had a friend who actually wrote for a major magazine, by the way, really good one. He quit and he went to work for a senator. He called me about 2 weeks later and says, "This blows my mind, John." I said, "What blows your mind about the government?" He says, "These congressmen," he said, "they spend at least two to three afternoons a week making calls, raising money all the time with lobbyists." And I said, "Wait a second, we pay them a salary, don't we?" He said, "Yeah, but they're not working for us." That's what he told me. And I checked into that, and that's true. They have their call Tuesdays, their call Thursdays. These are our congressmen supposed to represent us. But who are they? They're not out there saying, "How am I going to represent John or Gary? How am I going to represent whoever on Wall Street. And that's who they're, you know, money calls the show. And that's the thing about government today, especially the federal government. Your local government, I see it there as well. But again, you can make a difference in your local government if you just decide to do it.
Final issue here. I received a call 3 years ago, and it was a person working through the state agencies in cooperation with Homeland Security, and they asked, because I was a certified organic farmer at the time, and they asked, what was I growing? Where was I growing it? How was I disposing of it? Was any of it dried, pickled, jarred? Was it stored indoors, outdoors? How much of a crop did I have per year? And I said, why do you need to know this? And the person very matter-of-factly said, in case there's any emergency, the government needs to collect this food. I said, well, what about my needs? The person said, that is not our concern. I said, so you want to take my food, and I'm assuming any other farmer's food, and then the food bank's foods, the food that is, what about all the people that have joined one of those programs to keep their food for the future emergencies in those freeze-dried? She said, all food in the United States is under the same law of being confiscated. She told me this.
Well, again, it goes back. Again, that Pentagon video is predicting total breakdown. There is a paranoia in government. There's paranoia about people who are going to take a stand. The food thing is part of the paranoia, but also, we've helped some Amish farmers, out there who are just selling their food on their property at a farmer's market on a Saturday morning, and SWAT team arrives. However, large corporations that make food that kill people, you have the tobacco industry selling cigarettes that kill almost 300,000 people a year, and they can just do whatever they want to do. But so, again, you're dealing with a very corrupt government, and I'll go back and say this. If you people watch that Pentagon video, it's from the Pentagon. They're very, very paranoid about what's going to happen in the future, and they're paranoid about people who are going to take a stand for freedom.
John, I want to thank you for coming on. We hate to think of the likelihood that at some point in the future, the disparity will be so great, the suffering so extreme, that a percentage of the people will simply fight back. And the government is planning on this.
They will be
merciless. They will after anyone who fights back. So as you said earlier
ready.
In
they're
the show.
Geared up, the militarized police. I said all the federal agencies have military units now, so that the hammer is going to fall, folks. And you can get paranoid, you can run high, but I'm telling people don't run high. Just go down to get local power and change these things. You can do it. Just say no. We're not going to allow this stuff to happen in our communities.
I'm hopeful that will happen. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
His latest book is Battlefield America. His website is rutherford.org. His name is John Whitehead. John, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Gary Nall. This has been a special edition, The Hidden Hands, the people who are undermining our Constitution, our civil rights, in the age of neoliberalism. Thank you for listening. Now, for those of you who would like to know about Pacifica, WBAI, recent events there, we have a two-hour special with some very important voices from inside Pacifica, present and past. Stay tuned. Back in 2 minutes, we have a powerhouse program for you.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some